you know that it's not supposed to go in the raid, and after this you can get yourself a chair and monitor this for me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes on his camel, sometimes in the donkey. And this also shows you the permissibility of praying on the animals. Okay? So the animals, praying on the animal will be acceptable and considered tahir for you to pray on top of it. Okay? And also that moving things which is moving under you does not violate or validate or make it unacceptable or spoil your optional prayer. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the salah on what? On his rahila. The rahila on his ride, regardless if the ride was a camel or a donkey. Okay? And this will relate to the same what we ride today, regardless if a taxi, is a bus, is a car, is a bike, whatever transportation that you ride in, that you can make your sunnah or any optional prayer while you are in your vehicle, okay? Regardless if you're facing the Qibla or you are not. This is the narration of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim. The narration or the version of Imam al-Bukhari, he gave us something additional by saying what? يُومِئُ بِرَأْسِ وَالْإِيمَاءِ, that means to lower your head towards the ground little bit. Okay? Does not mean using your body. Okay? And this is what I was trying to make a difference between to bow or to use the head. Only the head. Okay? So it doesn't require the action of Rasulullah SAW using the head. Okay? Especially in modern transportation today, can you imagine somebody who want to make his sunnah while he's driving, and after this you go all the way down and you don't see the traffic light, and after this say, I was making sunnah. You see? Yeah. So al-ima is only a small move with the head towards the ground. And this will indicate what? Your sujood and your ruku'ah. From other narration, we understood that the Prophet ﷺ used to make the sujood lower than the ruku'ah. Okay? So if you driving like this, and your head is like this, so it comes about the ruku'ah, will be Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and you're still looking in front of you and driving, okay? سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدَ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا. Allahu Akbar, and this is the sujood. So it's a little bit lower than what you did in your ruku' and still. And here he came with the narration of al-Bukhari and said what? وَلَمْ يَكُنْ يَصْنَعْ ذَلِكَ فِي الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. Okay? He did not used to do this in al-Maktubah, which means the ordained prayer or the obligatory prayer. ولأبي داود من حديث أنس وكان إذا سافر فأراد أن يتطوع استقبل بناقته القبلة فكبر ثم صلى حيث كان وجهه وجه ركابه وإسناده حسن. This another version which in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullah alayhi reported from Anas. And this one with a different narration, different reporter, different collection, and the isnad here is hasan, is good. The hadith that we related before is more authentic and higher degree. What is the difference between this narration and the other one? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he makes the optional prayer, he will direct the camel or the donkey, whatever he riding, towards the Qibla first. And he say, Allahu Akbar, okay? And after this, after he started the prayer, now he will move the camel to go to whatever direction and continue the salah. Okay? So the first one, whatever direction the camel taking, he start his salah. This narration, which is in Abu Dawood, is that he, before start the optional prayer, he will direct the camel towards the Qibla. He will say Allahu Akbar, make takbir, start his prayer. And after this, if he was traveling this way, now he will move the camel after he make his first takbir and continue. So in actuality, the optional prayer have a different conditions from the obligatory. As example, the salah, to stand up in the salah is a must. Okay? وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. You have to be stand up in the prayer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, صَلِّ قَائِمًا فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ. That prays standing up if you could not sit. But the optional prayer, regardless you have the ability or no, you can pray sitting. So the optional prayer also concerning the direction have a different way. That you can pray on the ground, or that you can pray in your vehicle. Also, praying in the vehicle or in your ride has two ways. One, that wherever direction you go, you start your prayer as is and you finish it as is. And the second way, alaykum salam, and the second way, that you stop your vehicle, turn it towards the direction of the Qibla, start your prayer, and after this, go ahead with your vehicle to whatever direction you want and continue your prayer while you still finishing the prayer. Hadith 167, page number 79. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عن أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الأرض كلها مسجد إلا المقبرة والحمام. الأرض كلها مسجد إلا المقبرة والحمام. This hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Al-Bayhaqi, Al-Hakim, وعبد الرزاق and Ibn خزيمة. Imam Sheikh Al-Albani حفظه الله says that this hadith is authentic with the condition of the two sheikhs, that mean Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Okay, هذا إسناد صحيح على شرط الشيخين. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this hadith is forbidding us. First is saying the mercy of Allah that we see it in what? That the whole earth is a mosque for you. Okay, the whole earth, the permissibility of praying at any place. Okay. And this was exception being given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well as his ummah. Because before the other nations, they have to pray in their temple or their worship places. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the famous hadith that u'titu sab'an lam yu'tahunna nabiyun qabli, that have been given, or u'titu khamsan lam yu'tahunna nabiyun qabli, have been given five things as a speciality for me, not been given to any prophet before me. Okay? And one of them is what? وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. And that the earth been made for me as my, as well as my nation, is a means of purification and a place for prayer. So wherever you are, you have your ablution and you have your mosque. Okay? With exception from the whole earth is what? That the grave as well as the hammam. The grave, which is the people buried, which is the people are buried, because this it can be a means which leads to shirk. Regardless, whosoever is the person that buried in this area. And we understand that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had cursed the Jewish and the Christian. And say, لعنتullah على اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم وصالحين مساجد. May the curse of Allah fall in the Christian and the Jewish because they took the grave, the side grave of the righteous one, prophets messengers as a mask, while he warning his community, his followers, not to do the same. Okay? So it is forbidden to pray in a place which somebody buried. And it is forbidden to build a mosque upon a grave or in a site where a grave is. And for your knowledge, that the grave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not in the mosque, because we understand that the Prophet buried in his dwelling place. And the dwelling places of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was outside of the mosque, but was what? In the limit of the mosque. So it's a matter of coming from a door like this, he will enter, this will be the mosque, this his room. Later on, they added the dwelling place, which is the grave, they added it to be inside the mosque. But was never been recommended by the Prophet, never been done by the Khulafa al-Rashideen, may Allah be pleased with them. This additional, and it is wrong. Okay? And the Muslims, they are not supposed to erect a mosque over a grave, or include a grave inside to be part of the masjid. So the two exceptions here is what? The grave. Because this may lead people to magnify and elevate those people who are in the grave. There may be even nations coming after. They will think that their parents used to pray to the grave, not praying to Allah in this masjid. And this to avoid the means and the ways that may lead to shirk. And the second place, which is what? Al-Hammam. The bathroom, which is a place of impurity, filth, and is a place which is a maskan for the shaitan, is a dwelling place for what? For Satan. And you remember the hadith that we learned a couple of weeks ago, that the person, when before he enters the bathroom, he calling Allah, asking him, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. Because this is the dwelling place for the shaitan. Therefore, these two places are forbidden and made as exception that you could not pray in them. The next hadith, which hadith is 168, reported by Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يصلى في سبعة مواطن: المزبلة والمجزرة والمقبرة وقارعة الطريق والحمام ومعاطن الإبل وفوق ظهر بيت الله. رواه الترمذي وضعفه. This hadith is in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, al-Bayhaqi. But the hadith is weak, and we are not going to go to make any comments about it because the hadith is weak. So we don't have to even bother with it. The next hadith, which is in the collection of Imam Muslim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, لا تصلوا إلى القبور ولا تجلسوا عليها. Don't pray towards the graves and don't sit on them. Okay? And we just talk a little bit about it. So be only because the time, we are not going to go in any more details. But we are not supposed to pray on the graveyard, neither towards a graveyard or a grave. Neither it is permissible for a Muslim to sit and use the grave as a seating, because this disrespect and the honor of the dead person like the same honor while he's alive. Okay? And which came in the meaning of hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, broken a bone of a dead person like breaking the bone while he's alive. So the honor and the respect of the Muslim after he dies still the same respect. Okay? while he's alive, and we don't go and sit on the graves. Hadith 170, page 80, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا جاء أحدكم المسجد فلينظر فإن رأى في نعليه أذى أو قذرا فليمسحه وليصلي فيهما. This hadith أبو سعيد الخدري. إذا جاء أحدكم, that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا جاء أحدكم المسجد فلينظر فإن رأى في نعليه أذى أو قذرا فليمسحه وليصلي فيهما. This hadith is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood al-Bayhaqi ibn Khuzaymah. This hadith is authentic, reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may be Allah be pleased with him. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seen, when one of you come to the mosque, let him look. If he see any impurity, any filth in his shoes, let him rub it, and after this pray in them. Okay? So, from this hadith, we see the necessity of a checking, because now why is this hadith coming here? Because removing the impurity is condition for the acceptance of the salah. Okay? And since the praying in the shoes is one of the sunnah of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is permissible, so became the necessity of checking the shoes, because it be exposed to impurity more than anything else, and that you may step in impurity while you are not aware about it. Therefore became the necessity of examining the shoes before entering the prayer area, and also showing that means of purification for the shoes. If he see any impurity in it, he should look, and if he sees impurity or filth on his sandals, shoes, whatever that you're wearing for protection for your shoes, for your feet, he should wipe them and then pray in them. And I'm going to make a small comment here after I need the next hadith, which reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal qal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam iza wati'a ahadukum al-adha bi-khuffayhi fatuhuruhuma al-turab. This hadith is sahih al-ghayri, is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim ibn Khuzaymah bi sanadin hasan, which says that good, the isnad, the chain of narration is good, it is sahih because been supported by others, so is a sahih for others, okay, acceptable, okay. And that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when one of you step on the other, and the other is a general term, regardless if it's something impure or pure. Because the mud, as example, the mud is not impure, but it's still what? Something dirty. Okay? And as I said, we have to make difference between impurity and dirtiness. Okay? So we say, like a person who works as a mechanic, he may have some oil and grease on his suit, or overall, whatever he wearing to work, this is dirty but not impure. Can he pray with it? Yes, he can. But is this the best? No. So the same thing, you may step in the mud. The mud is not impure. Okay? But it is other. So when one of you step on the other, purification for it is what? Is dust or dirt, dry dirt. So now, we understand that is a sunnah, it is part of the sunnah to pray with your shoes. And sometimes that you pray with your shoes, sometimes not. To practice both sunnah. This is one thing. Secondly, we understand that the mask of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have these rugs and mats and all these things. Neither we say that this is innovation, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prayed on a mat. Okay? But we say that it's not been known that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray with his shoes on a mat. Okay? But his mask sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to, the ground used to be from dirt or sand or something like the regular. So it's no different between what's outside the masjid or what's inside the masjid. This is what I'm trying to say. Okay? So if somebody today want to come as example to the masjid here and say, brother, you guys talk about sunnah and I want to practice the sunnah and I'm coming inside with my shoes, we say no problem. You go to Walmart, buy a brand new shoes, okay, and put it on and come inside and pray with it. He say, no guys, you're playing tricks now, playing games. I want to come with the same shoes that I pray outside, that I walk outside with it and step in. We say, okay, but you know, every track that you're going to make on the rug, we're going to ask you also that you clean it. Especially if you step outside in a mud or in some kind of paint and you're going to step here, this is not going to take $35 for a steam cleaning to clean the rug. Now you need to change the whole rug, in which you may cost, you understand, about $2,000 for this piece you're sitting on it. You see? Because la darar wa la dirar, you don't harm others, neither you be harmed. So now when you come with this mud and you put it in the rug and the other person wearing a nice kameez or a clean suit and step on the same place, now you're going to harm the other Muslims by praying here with your shoes. You want to practice the sunnah? You can practice the sunnah when we're playing volleyball outside and it's time for salah and we're praying outside. You can pray with your shoes, no problem. You want to practice the sunnah when we are in traveling, going someplace, and now we stop by a rest area, nobody asking you, you have to take your shoes on, off. Okay? So we have to use, you understand, the hikmah and the wisdom, and from the sunnah, not to disturb the Muslims. Okay? Not from the sunnah to disturb the Muslims. So by praying with your shoes, and you're going to dirty the rug, okay? Now you're causing disturbance for the Muslims and for the masjid. We say you could not do this, alright? So we have to be reasonable about how to practice the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next hadith, which hadith 172, page 80. وعن معاوية ابن الحكم رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه الصلاة لا يصلح فيها شيء من كلام الناس إنما هو التسبيح والتكبير وقراءة القرآن رواه مسلم. Okay. إن هذه الصلاة لا يصلح فيها شيء من كلام الناس. And this comes from حديث معاوية ابن الحكم. If I'm not mistaken, this is the same incident that happened as a result for this hadith. Can find it quick. This hadith, which is in the collection of Imam Muslim, Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Salami, he narrating what happened, that he said, while we making salah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man sneezed. So I said to him, Yarhamukallah, while they making salah. He said, Yarhamukallah. So everybody stare at me, say, wow, what's wrong? Why you people staring at me like this? So the companion start hitting their laps with their hands. Okay? That mean giving him hint like, be quiet. Don't talk. فلما صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, okay, so معاوية ابن الحكم السلمي, He doesn't know what is going on, and a person sneezes during the salah. So I'm trying to fulfill my obligation to him. I said to him, Yarhamukallah. And the rest of the companions, they staring at me, and I felt that I did something wrong. I say, hey guys, what's wrong? So now instead of him be quiet, he's talking again, and you want to see what's wrong. Why everybody staring at me? So nobody want to say anything, so they start do this, like giving him a signal that be quiet. So when I understood that nobody want to talk to me, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finishes salah, may he be saved by my mother and my father. I never saw a teacher better than him, neither after him. That means I never met a teacher before or after better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I swear by Allah, he didn't hit me, he didn't curse me, he didn't bother me, nothing, except that he said, this salah, nothing can be done in it concerning the talk of the people. It is only glorifying Allah and reciting the Quran. So this was the occasion of the hadith. It's not befitting during the salah prayer, for it prayer consists only of glorifying Allah, declaring His greatness, and recitation of the Quran. Okay? This was the continuation of the hadith. So that means in salah, because it was the permissibility, was permissible in the beginning, okay, in the first beginning of learning the salah, and this, that they say certain things to each other, like somebody come and say, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, Assalam. Somebody sneeze, somebody say, Alhamukallah, like this, okay? And the condition changed later on, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam about the final ruling concerning the salah, that the only thing is the tasbih, the takbir, and the recitation of the Quran, all these other things that you could not do it during the salah. وعن زيد ابن أرقم قال كنا لنتكلم في الصلاة على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكلم أحدنا صاحبه بحاجته حتى نزلت حافظوا على الصلاة والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين okay. فأمرنا بالسكوت ونهينا عن الكلام. This hadith also to confirm what I just was saying, that in the beginning they used to engage during the prayer talking about certain things about daily life, like Assalamu alaikum or Irhamukallah, certain things like this, or maybe even say certain words about did he see so and so, did he come for the salah or whatever, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal this verse, okay, guard secretly the prayer, especially the middle prayer, and stand before Allah with obedience. So what they understood from this, that the forbidding of talking in the salah, and they have to be silent. Hadith 174, Hadith 174, page 81. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التسبيح للرجال والتصفيق للنساء. متفق عليه. زاد مسلم في الصلاة. narrated أبو هريرة that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying glorification of Allah, i.e. saying سبحان الله, is for men, and clapping of hands is for women. Agreed. Other version which narrated by Imam Muslim during the salah. Okay. This hadith teaches us how to correct the imam during the salah. Correction to the imam during the salah will be by saying Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. And correction by women to the imam will be the clapping. And the clapping, some of the scholars say, is not even the regular clapping. And they said that with two fingers, okay, two fingers from the right hand and hitting the left hand. While some, they said, as example, in the back side, using the right hand on the back side of the left hand. And they said that the wisdom that this kind of clapping is this formality, because with this it can indicate to the men the softness of what kind of clapping an imam, you understand, it can determine if it's an old lady, young lady, whatever it is, okay? So to avoid any kind of temptation between men and women, even by the sound of the clapping. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the way for men is by voicing, and the way for women by what? Clapping. And the first narration will indicate that this in general. The second version of Muslim said during the Salah, that means during the Salah only, okay, that this to be a means of correction for the Salah. What we understand from the first version, we understand that can be even out the Salah. What does this mean? That as example, if somebody knocking in my door, and he keep knocking, so now if I want to let him know that I'm in Salah, I will say what? Subhanallah. Or a woman will do this, so the person will wait. Okay? So this is the meaning we get from the first hadith, that tasbih and tasfiq in general. But the second one, by saying fis salah, that means to use this for correction or to indicate something in salah. Like somebody, as example, about to do something wrong or is not supposed to do something, and you won't get their attention, you say Subhanallah. Okay? But we understand from the action of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the permissibility of something like this. And what I mean by something like this, that a person can do this to indicate something that do or don't, or that I'm busy, occupied in the salah, I could not answer you now. And also the scholars use this, some of the scholars use this to indicate that tasfiq is not one of the mannerism of men to be using at any time, because this is something special for women. You know that some people, when they want to share somebody, they clapping, or that somebody, they have weddings, they be clapping and things like this. So some of the scholars, they understood that this is wrong, prohibited for men to do this, because this imitation for the women. So from this hadith we understand that is not supposed to be talking the salah. That also we teach the people who doesn't know their deen in a nice way, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he did with Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam, when he said yarhamukallah to the man, that to say yarhamukallah even during the salah is not permissible. That quietness in salah and only tasbih and reciting the Quran is part of the salah. There is other narration here, which is the one I was talking about, وتشوفوه من النساء ان ابو داود عن سهل بن سعد ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من نابه شيء في صلاتي فليسبح فانما تصفيق للنساء. Which means if any one of you something happened to him during his salah, let him make tasbih by saying subhanallah, because indeed the clapping is for women. As example, if you see a blind man, he's going to say fall in a hole, or you want to give somebody to permission to enter the house, okay, you say subhanallah, so it can be used salah or out the salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Hadith 175, page 82. وعن مطرف ابن عبد الله ابن الشخير عن أبيه قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي وفي صدره أزير كأزير المرجل من البكاء. And this hadith shows us something about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his prayer by this Sahabi telling us that I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he was making salah and I heard a sound from his chest like the bumbling of a pot, you know, when you have water boiling, they hear like this, and the Prophet, he heard this out of his crying during recitation of Quran in the Salah. And from this we understand that the superiority of being effective by the Quran and crying in the Salah. And we understand that this doesn't break the prayer of those that make this effect or this sound. So this sound does not spoil your prayer. Hadith 176 عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان لي من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مدخلان فكنت إذا أتيته وهو يصلي تنحنح لي. رواه النسائي وابن ماجة. This hadith in the collection of النسائي ابن ماجة. ابن السكن says the hadith is authentic, and Imam الألباني حفظه الله he said that the hadith is weak. The hadith that is showing is saying that when he used to come in two different occasions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he used to come, which is his cousin and his son-in-law, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this sound like this, and this like a given permission that enter. But anyway, we said that the hadith has weakness in it, but we understood the permissibility of making the tasbih if you want to give somebody permission or while you making salah. The next hadith, which hadith reported, hadith 177 عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قلت لبلال كيف رأيت نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يرد عليهم حين يسلمون عليه وهو يصلي؟ قال يقول هكذا وبسط كفه. أخرجه أبو داود والترمذي. This hadith is authentic, and this hadith in the collection of Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nisa'i. And this hadith is showing the permissibility and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam answering the salam while he is in the salah. And they ask Bilal how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to answer the Muslims when they come and say Assalamu alaikum while he's making salah. He said يَقُولُ هَكَذَا وَبَسَطَ كَفَّهُ. That means he say like this with his hand. So if you're making salah and somebody say Assalamu alaikum, you did not say it with your tongue, but you answer the salutation by what? By moving your hand like this. The bottom of your hand will be towards the ground, and you do it like this, okay, with your hand flat, alright? يقول هكذا وبسط كفه. And the hadith is authentic. And this is the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith before the last, 178, page number 83, عن أبي قتادة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي وهو حامل أمامة بنت زينب فإذا سجد وضعها وإذا قام حملها. متفق عليه. ولمسلم وهو يؤم الناس في المسجد. Okay, this hadith أبو Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, telling us the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to carry Umama, which his granddaughter, okay, his granddaughter, daughter of Zainab, and he used to carry her during the salah, and when he go to sujood, he would put her down, and when he stand up for his salah, in the standing position, Qiyam, he will carry her again. The narration or the version of Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, وَهُوَ يُؤْمِ النَّاسِ, while he was leading the Muslims, okay, in the mosque. This shows us that carrying babies is permissible in Salah, that the movements of putting the kids, carrying the kids, doesn't break the salah. That permissibility of doing this to the person, regardless if he's an imam or a follower, is permissible. And this is the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hadith is authentic. Last hadith in our chapter, that عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اقتلوا الأسودين في الصلاة الحية والعقرب. The hadith is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nisa'i, وابن ماجة وابن حبان, and in the collection of Imam Ahmad, and the hadith is authentic, which is reported by Abu Qatada, by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kill the two black ones during salah, during the prayer, snake and the scorpion. Okay, so this is something harmful to the Muslim or to the human being in general, and killing these things, it require movements, it require maybe even taking a stick or something, it may be even moving from your spot, but it's permissible and is not breaking your salah. Kill the two black ones in the salah, al-hayya wal-aqrab, the snake and the scorpion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If any time left, we allow it inshallah for anybody have correction, comments, or anything is not clear, and by this inshallah we finish our 17 class concerning the condition of the salah. On our next class, which is number 18 inshallah, concerning the sutra and the necessity of taking sutra while you making salah. And the sutra, that means to take a screen or put something to perform, inshallah we'll go more in details in next class inshallah. After Salat al-Maghrib, we're going to have a meeting to finalize things concerning the conference inshallah, which is going to be this Saturday, June 20. Okay, so inshallah we asking the members or anybody who would like to assist in our conference to remain after the sunnah. We're going to discuss this inshallah. And since it's time for the adhan is in, inshallah we close by saying subhanakallahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.